Mosul tried to get up, but his feet slithered all over the slimed, quaking floor. He directed an order at the door muscle membrane. Too late, he saw its shape had changed from a vertical oval to a horizontal slash, a giant mouth. It parted, giving him a brief glimpse of stained teeth the size of his feet, then thick yellow vomit discharged into the bedroom. The torrent of obscenely fetid liquid hit him straight on, lifting him up and throwing him against the back wall. He didn't dare cry out. It would be in his mouth. His arms thrashed about, but it was like paddling in glue. There seemed no end to the cascade. It had risen above his knees. Cleo was floundering against the wall a couple of meters away, her body spinning in the hard current. He couldn't reach her. The vomit's heat was powerful enough to enervate his muscles, and the stomach acid it contained was corroding his skin. It had risen up to his chest. He struggled to stay upright. Cleo had disappeared below the surface, not even waking from her nightmare, and still more poured in. As far as Lewis Sinclair was aware, Lattell's corpse lay perfectly still under the crumpled crane boom. Not that he bothered to check. Pernick Island was big, much larger than his imagination had ever conceived it, and for someone with his background, difficult to comprehend. Every second yelled for his attention as he sent out phobic fantasies through his affinity bonds with the slumbering populace, invading their dreams, breaking their minds wide open with insane fear, so more souls could come through and begin their reign of possession. He ignored the Vitek's tedious minutiae, autonomic organ functions, the monitoring routines which the old multiplicity employed, enacting muscle membrane functions. All he cared about was eliminating the remaining Edenists. That task received his total devotion. The island cells glimmered a faint pink as a result of the energonistic irrigation. Even the shaggy coat of moss shone as though imbued with firefly luminescence. Pernick twinkled like a fabulous inflamed ruby in the funereal gloom of Atlantis's moonless night, sending radiant fingers probing down through the water to beckon curious fish. An observer flying overhead would have noticed flashes of blue light pulsing at random from the accommodation tower windows, as though stray lightning bolts were being flung around the interior. Long, chill screams reverberated around the borders of the park, emerging from various archways at the base of the towers. By the time they reached the rim, they had blended into an almost musical madrigal, changes in pitch matching the poignant lilt of the waves washing against the polyp. House chimps scampered about, yammering frantically at each other. Their control routines had been wiped clean by Lewis's relentless purge of the multiplicity and all its subsidiaries, and long-suppressed simian tribal traits were surfacing. Fast, violent fights broke out among them as they instinctively flared into the thicker spinneys growing in the park. The remaining subsentient servitor creatures, all 18 separate species necessary to complement the island's static organs, either froze motionless or performed their last assigned task over and over again. Unnoticed amid the bedlam and horror, Latton's corpse was quietly dissolving into protoplasmic soup. Edenist biotechnicians, examining the wreckage of Jantrit, had called the process Latton used to doctor the habitat's neural strata a proteanic virus. In fact, it was far more complex than that. Affinity-programmable organic molecules was a term one researcher used. Deeply disturbed by the technology and its implications, the Jovian consensus released little further information. Research continued, a classified high-priority project which concentrated on developing methods to warn existing habitats of the subnanonic weapon being deployed against them, and a means of making future habitats and people immune. Progress over the intervening 40 years was slow but satisfactory. Of course, unknown to the Edenists, at the same time, Latton was equally busy on Lalonde, refining his process and meeting with considerable success. In its passive state, the updated proteanic virus masqueraded as inert organelles within his body cells, no matter what their nature, from liver to blood corpuscles, muscles to hair.